We read together in God's Word, Deuteronomy chapter 8 this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. The verses that we will focus on are verses 10 and 11 of this chapter. But we'll focus on those in the context of the whole chapter and bring up other things that explain those verses. But that will be our focus, 10 and 11. Let's read the whole chapter this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 8. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and of depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. So far we read God's Word this morning. I'd like to read verses 10 and 11 again of Deuteronomy 8. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what will be true of all of us in this day is that at some point we are going to be full. At Today we gather together for our Thanksgiving worship service, a national holiday, so that for most of us, we don't have to go to work today. We're able to begin the day here in the house of God for a time of worship of His name. And for the rest of the day, many of us will spend time together with family and with fellow believers. And we will, throughout the course of this day, enjoy the good gifts of this earth that God has been pleased to give to us. And that is an altogether legitimate activity on this day as the children of God, to enjoy, to use the very good gifts of this earth which He has been pleased to grant unto us, the good gifts of food, and even food in great abundance as we will enjoy it in this day. So it is true for us today, really what is true for us every day on account of the circumstances of our lives, that we will be full. And so we hear the Word of God this morning. And the Word of God to us this morning is that when you are full, do not forget the Lord thy God, but rather when you are full, remember God and bless His name. Let's consider these couple of verses using as our theme, forget not God when you are full. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is a portion of the word of Moses to the children of Israel before they entered into the land of Canaan. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1 and 5. Explain the context of all of these words of the book. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. And then verse 5, on this side of Jordan in the land of Moab began Moses to declare this law, saying... And so you can picture the scene in your mind. Children of Israel are in the plains of Moab over against the Red Sea. They possibly even can see off into the distance the land of Canaan over the Jordan River. And before they enter into the land of Canaan, which God had promised to them, they hear the word of God and the law of God from the mouth of Moses one more time. A portion of that word and law which Moses gave to them is what we have in Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses explains what their life will be like in the land of Canaan. He explains the bounty of the land that they will have when they enter into the land of Canaan. And to fully appreciate what Moses says here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, you have to consider it in the context of what they experienced in the past, part of which is explained in the chapter. Think about what was true for the children of Israel in the past. You can go way back and you can think about what their life was like in Egypt. Now, it is true that those who were present there in the plains of Moab, listening to the word of God from the mouth of Moses, did not have first-hand experience for life in Egypt. That generation had passed away. But certainly it was known among those present that day what their life in Egypt was like. A life of misery, a life of bondage, a life of distress. And then you consider what they did have firsthand knowledge of. What they had firsthand knowledge of was their years and years of wandering in the wilderness. It is true that while they were in the wilderness, God cared for them. And that is part of what is explained in Deuteronomy chapter 8. God provided them with the manna day by day. God made it so that the shoes on their feet did not wear out. But that does not take away from the fact that those were hard years. They were, after all, in the waste, howling wilderness. In contrast to what was the case for them in the past, going way back to Egypt and then the very near past of the wilderness. Moses explains in Deuteronomy chapter 8 what their life will be like when they enter into the land of Canaan. And the heart of it is described at the beginning of verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. That description, good land, is further explained by all of the elements that come right after it. This is what makes the land of Canaan good. It was good on account of the fact that it would be a land that had good supply of fresh water. The end of verse 7. It's a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. That's always what makes a land a good land. You have to have a plentiful source of good, fresh water. The land of Canaan would have that for the children of Israel. It was a good land because it was a land filled with all sorts of good variety of food. Verses 7, or rather 8, and the beginning of 9. It's a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in it. The manna was good food. It was angels' food, the psalm says. But here's a description of the wealth and abundance that they will have in Canaan. A whole variety of delicious foods that will be available to them. And then in addition to that, it was a good land because of the natural resources that it provided. The end of verse 9, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. A good land has natural resources so that they're able with those natural resources to build the buildings that need to be built, make the weapons that need to be formed in defense of the land and the enemy attacks that they would make. In many respects, Moses describes the good land that God promised to the children of Israel. Now imagine being an Israelite on that day, hearing Moses explain this in contrast to what they've experienced in the land of Egypt and in the wilderness. And if you were an Israelite that day and you were to reflect upon what is my attitude going to be like when this is actually a reality for us? How am I going to think in relationship to God when I enjoy that fresh water and variety and abundance of food surrounded by all sorts of good natural resources in the land of Canaan? And you would say, sitting there in the plains of Moab, I'm going to be thankful. How could I not be thankful for what God is going to give to me at that time? And when I'm there, and when I have the spread before me on the table, and when I have the good water to drink, and when I'm enjoying the fruit of this land, how could I not, you would think, at that time, lift up my heart, lift up my voice in thanks to God for what He has given to me. And then you immediately stop. You immediately catch yourself and you say, let me not be lifted up with pride lest I fall. Then you realize, yes, I may think that right now, but I need to take into consideration my sinful flesh. And my sinful flesh is such that when I get to that time and when I have the fullness of the earth around me, that I forget the Lord thy God. God, through Moses, gives therefore a very important word for the children of Israel to hear. They needed to hear the dangers and temptations that they would face in the land of Canaan, surrounded by the goodness of the land and enjoying the goodness of the land. Yes, prior to it, they may say, how could I not be thankful and bless God? But then we know, and Moses knew, that the strength of our sinful flesh is that in those moments of being full, there is great, great temptation. And that's what he explains in our text before us today. The temptation and the dangers when you are full. This is an applicable word of God to us this morning. But before we see the main point that we draw from it, we have to keep this in mind throughout our study of a passage like Deuteronomy chapter 8. And that is the fact that this abundance in the land of Canaan for the children of Israel is found in the Old Testament and therefore is typical of the spiritual blessings that God bestows upon the church of Jesus Christ. When God in the Old Testament brought them into the physical land of Canaan and explains to them, as He does in this chapter, the physical bounties that they would experience in that land of Canaan, that physical land and physical bounties, because of the typical nature of the Old Testament, points to the spiritual realities, the spiritual bounties that we have from God in the Lord Jesus Christ, the heart of which is our covenant life with God in Jesus through the forgiveness of our sins. The church at any point in history, the church, no matter what her outward circumstances are, can read Deuteronomy chapter 8 and say with respect to Deuteronomy chapter 8, we have the reality of what this is talking about. We have Canaan. We have the fresh springs of water. We have the bountiful food. We have the natural resources because we have the reality of that which that pointed to. We enjoy the fullness of the blessings of salvation bestowed upon us by God in Jesus Christ. That's the spiritual reality pointed to by the physical land and the physical gifts. And that's what we're most thankful for on this day. Thanksgiving Day is a day on which we take special thanks. We take note of the special thanks we must have for the earthly gifts. Prayer Day, months ago, praying to God that He provides for us earthly needs. As we think about the planting of the crops and now Thanksgiving at the time of the harvest, we reflect upon God's goodness to us with respect to our earthly gifts. That's the focus of the day, but we know always that the essence of our gratitude day by day is on account of our salvation in Jesus Christ. And that adds to the significance of what we're going to talk about today. We have the heart of it from God. We are really the only ones in all of the world as Christians who are truly thankful. We are the only ones in all of the world as Christians who even have a right to the things of the earth of which we're going to speak from this passage. God has saved us in Jesus Christ. He's given us all things, and we receive all things from God in His hand, the heart of which is salvation. But He also provides for us the things of this earth. Understanding that typical nature of this passage, it's still legitimate to take it for what it says on the surface as we think about our lives today. It's still legitimate to use a passage like this that talks about being full, physically full, and the dangers that are surrounding that reality. And that's why it is applicable for us on this second level. Because the fact is, for us as Christians today, living in America, we are full. We have an abundance of the things of this earth. As I said in the introduction, nobody, really any day of the week, goes hungry. But instead, we enjoy the bounties of this earth from the hand of God. And I want to repeat what I said briefly in the introduction, and that is that we do that very legitimately. We don't live the life of an ascetic or the life of one who flees the earthly things of this earth and looks negatively at the things of this earth. We don't say that we can't enjoy them. As Christians, we do. This is God's good earth. He said in the beginning that He created it all and it was good. 1 Timothy says that the things of this earth are good. They're not evil in and of themselves. We receive them from the hand of God and we enjoy them. And we do that with a good, clear conscience. But in doing that, there are dangers. And that's what the text points us to. The beginning of verse 11 says, beware. Beware that. That word beware is a strong word. That word beware should cause us to stop. It means to take heed, to think carefully about, to set your mind upon this fact. We need to beware, the text says, that thou forget not the Lord thy God. That's the main word to us. When you are full, beware that you don't forget God. Forgetting is part of who we are. Forgetting means that at one point you knew something. Forgetting is to no longer have in your mind, in your consciousness, that which at a previous time you knew. You only forget that which at a beginning or earlier time you were aware of. You don't forget that which you never knew. Forgetting is something that is very much a part of who we are. It's very easy to forget. We're finite creatures. We forget all the time when it comes to our daily earthly life. What we knew at an earlier time, we try to call it to mind and we forget it. We don't know what it is anymore. And that's simply part of being a finite creature. God never forgets anything. He knows all things perfectly. We forget. We forget in our natural earthly life. But here we're talking about our walk with God. And it carries a much greater significance, obviously, when we talk about our life with God. Do not forget God. Do not forget God means that do not live your life without God always in your consciousness, always right there in your mind. To forget God is to put God out of your mind. Not to call Him to mind and always dwell on Him and His Word. In the context of this passage, it's don't forget. Don't let be out of your mind the fact that everything that we have of this earth comes to us from His hand. The passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8 explains the source of forgetting God. The source of forgetting God is our sinful pride. Verse 11 gives the main word, beware that thou forget not thy God. And then verse 12, 13, and 14 says this, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, built goodly houses and dwelt therein, thy herds and all of thy stuff multiplies. And then verse 14, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. That's pride. The heart being lifted up is the heart of pride. And that pride is further explained in verse 17. When thou say in thine heart, a proud heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. That's the danger that we beware and take heed to this morning. That in the abundance of the things of this earth that we have. We are lifted up with pride, and we think in our hearts, my hand has gotten the things of this earth. And it's not just us explicitly saying, I got this. We have to understand that we're forgetting God even simply when we don't consciously acknowledge that it's from His hand. When we take our minds off of the fact that it's from the hand of God is a selfish and sinful way of thinking. So even though we may not go to the extreme and say in a heart filled with pride, I got this. We have to understand that the middle is very serious too when we simply don't acknowledge that this is from the hand of God. That too is a manifestation of our sinful pride when we're not actively and consciously saying that this, what I have before me today, comes from the hand of God. The seriousness of forgetting God in our pride is that forgetting God leads to the walking in disobedience to His commandments. Verse 11 says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which I command thee this day." Now obviously, when there's a proud heart that says with respect to the things of this earth, I got this, that is a disobedience to the commands of God. But this is broader than that. You forget God. You take God and put Him out of your mind when you don't think upon the things of God and the Word of God. That leads to a life of disobedience against God's commandments. Put God out of your mind and forget Him. Instead, in pride, focus on self, because that's the heart of pride. Me, me, me. And the fruit of that is going to be a walking in disobedience to the commandments of God. That's the seriousness of forgetting God's commandments. And then in the context of the whole chapter, in the end of the chapter, you walk away from God, and the Lord will have this at your end: ye shall surely perish. That's true in all of our lives. Always forget God, forget His Word, forget His Word in sinful pride, and you put yourself on a path of disobedience to God's commandments. That's true in every aspect of our life, no matter the context, that is true. We can even be a little bit more specific on a day like today. You think about just today, Thanksgiving Day. Think about what this day is about as we reflect upon being filled with thanks for our earthly gifts. You forget that that comes from the hand of God, that specifically. And even on this day, that can lead to a walking in disobedience to His commandments. Here's a few examples. You forget today that the good bottle of wine that's on your table is from the hand of God. And that's a good gift of God. We can enjoy a good bottle of wine and a glass of wine. But you forget that that's a good gift of God from His hand to us as His children, with His love and with His favor as those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. You forget that. And how easily can that lead to a life of disobedience to God's commandments? Take your eyes off of, that's from the hand of God. And in your sinful pride, you say, I'm going to use that bottle of wine to do what I want. And that is, I want to have an effect from this wine. And I want to enjoy this wine in excess on this Thanksgiving Day and live the life for the day of drunkenness. What's the source of it? You forgot that that's a good gift of God to be used to the service of His name and not in a selfish and sinful way. You forget that the good food on your table from the hand of God comes from Him. And you open yourself up to having a heart of complaining and grumbling that leads to saying some very serious and sinful things to your wife who prepared the food. Maybe the food isn't prepared today just how you like it. Something not quite right with it. It didn't turn out just the way that you wanted it. You forget that that comes from God today. This is a good meal from God. And you're much more susceptible to saying that sneering comment to your wife who labored over that food and provided a good meal for the family. Very damaging words, especially in a context like this when maybe family is around and all it takes, maybe a little comment off to the side, but a word that hurts a wife who works hard to provide a meal. You forget that it comes from God. And that has an effect on how you treat those who prepared it. You forget that it comes from God and you're susceptible to the sin of coveting. Not every spread today before us in our families and houses is going to be the same. Some may be nicer than others. And you forget that what we have today in front of us is from God's hand. And you open yourself up to the sin of sinful coveting, that which God has not been pleased to give you. You forget that this good food comes from the hand of God, and it's to be used in the service of God, to be enjoyed, but in harmony with God's will and commandments, to be enjoyed in such a way that it pleases God. You forget all of that. And you're susceptible to the sin of gluttony, which uses the food that God has given to us, not in the service of His name, but in the service of self and sinful pleasures. And yes, even on a Thanksgiving day, that doesn't do away with fighting against the sin of gluttony. The point with this, even on a day like this, even as we think about what God has given us in our earthly gifts, if we forget that it comes from the hand of God, it leads very easily, very quickly, to disobedience to God's commandments. And so what is the antidote? We beware not to forget God in this day. Instead, we hear the word of verse 10, which says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord, the good land which He hath given thee." That's the word of God to us positively. Don't forget God today, beloved. Instead, bless God today. Bless God today when you are full. And the antidote, obviously, to forgetting God is to remember God. And that's in the beginning of the passage, in the end of the passage. Remember the Lord thy God. At every point, at every turn, remember God and His Word. Remember Him in the way of prayer and bless Him in the way of prayer. And may our prayers today, as we give God thanks for all that He has given us, be genuine, heartfelt prayers. May our prayers for the good food that is before us be genuine, heartfelt prayers. Not vain repetition, not a quick prayer so that we can get to the food, but a deep, sincere prayer to God of thanks for what He has given us. And one of the ways to help with that is to think always of thanking God for the means that led to the providing of that food. That's a very helpful way for our children to be thankful for what God has given to us. The means are even mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 8 when it says in verse 18, "He hath given thee power to get wealth. He gave thee what was needed to obtain the things of this earth." And in our prayers, give God thanks for those things. Today, in the presence of children, thank God for the healthy mind and body so that a father is able to work. Thank God for the good job that provides an income. Thank God for the economy that allows us to have what we need. Thank God that we can still buy and sell. Thank God for the rain, sunshine, and the growing of the crops. Focus on the means so that more concretely we acknowledge that God is the one to be blessed and praised for these good gifts. We bless God by remembering Him by doing what we're doing this morning in worship. Our Reformed Church fathers were wise in saying that on the National Day of Thanks, when most of us do not have to work, that we begin the day in worship. Because this is the very thing that allows us to do what we are told to do in this passage. What is this worship service all about? It's about this. Bless God. Praise God. Magnify God. Remember God for what He has given to us in His love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And beyond that, to the earthly things that He has provided us with. What a fitting day, way to begin this day. And I'm thankful to God that we heed the call to worship this morning as a congregation. A full sanctuary this morning. Because we are intent as the children of God, not just to go through the motions on this day, but to remember what this day is all about, which is the blessing and praising of God. And let the worship service pervade the day. Let the thoughts we have on our mind for this hour in God's house be the thoughts we have in our mind throughout the rest of the day. So that we don't forget Him. And in not forgetting Him, we walk in obedience. So that we use God's gifts. We use our time off in a way that is glorifying to God and therefore expresses thanks to Him. And let us bless His name too by remembering all that God has done for us. It's not just praise God and thank God for the present, for what we have today sitting before us on our tables as we enjoy the things of this earth. But what does the passage focus on? It focuses on the past. It brings us to the past and what God had did for the children of Israel, anticipating and leading to its climax and fulfillment in giving the land of Canaan. We remember God in the present by always calling to mind that which God has done in the past. And the heart of it for the children of Israel in the Old Testament, and the heart of it for us today is what is pointed to in this history, is the deliverance from Egypt, the preservation through the wilderness, and the bringing into the land of Canaan, all of which brings us to the Lord Jesus Christ and the glorious salvation that we have through His precious blood. We remember God today and bless His name today by remembering and calling to mind and never forgetting His work in the past. And His work in the past is His faithfulness to us in Jesus Christ and the deliverance from all of our sins through His precious blood. And as the objects of God's love and favor, we receive that salvation and all things from His hand, including the good food and drink of this earth. We remember God and bless His name by then also remembering today who we are. And who we are but creatures. And who we are but sinners. You see, pride is all about self. But the interesting thing about pride is that in pride, you're always forgetting two things. And remember, pride is the source of forgetting God and failing to bless God. With pride, two things are always true. What we talked about, namely that in pride, you forget God. You take your eyes off of God. But the striking thing about pride is also that you forget who you are. And who I am. In our pride, we forget who we are as creatures. And in our pride, we forget who we are as sinners. And so our remembering of God, our blessing God, our fighting against the sin of forgetting God comes in the way of always remembering who we are. In humility, today on this Thanksgiving Day, saying, I am nothing. Today in this Thanksgiving Day, in humility, saying, I am a creature. Today on this Thanksgiving Day, saying, I have no right to receive anything of this earth from the hand of God. To say on this Thanksgiving Day in humility, I am a sinner who is worthy of death. But in that humility, therefore, to see, to call to mind, to focus on, to not forget the great work of God in delivering us from our sin, and the great work of God in filling us with the things of this earth on this day. So we remember the spiritual reality. That's the heart of it. And we learn from the very experience of the children of Israel in the Old Testament. And so in this day when we are full, as we are every day, let us beware in our pride not to forget God, but instead on this Thanksgiving Day, and on every day, let us bless the Lord our God. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we're thankful to Thee that Thou art our God, that Thou hast established Thy covenant with us in Jesus Christ, that we receive from Thy hand the fullness of our salvation in Jesus. We thank Thee for that salvation, and we thank Thee too in this day that we receive much from Thy hand. Help us to enjoy these things as gifts from Thy hand, to enjoy them in a proper way, and to enjoy them in such a way that we bless Thy name as God. And so help us to do that in this day. We've begun the day in a good way, and may that carry through throughout the remainder of this Thanksgiving Day. Keep us from sin and forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen.